This week, we'll return to a special look at Poison Center Nursing. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome every single one of you, especially all of you long-term members of The Nursing Show here to this episode of The Nursing Show. Also, a lot of brand new listeners from The Nursing Show have joined us over the last year or so. And so, as a special treat, I thought we'd revisit some of my favorite episodes over the next couple of months periodically. And one of those episodes is an interview opportunity I had with Nurse Randy Goldberg. He's a Poison Center nurse specialist. He actually works in the Maryland Poison Center, taking phone calls from patients who call in, and he talked a little bit about this particular nursing career path and nurse specialty, and I think it was a great interview. I really enjoyed doing it. It aired first time here on The Nursing Show a little over a year ago, so you will have maybe heard this before, but it's probably been a while, so I urge you to sit back and listen to this episode and catch up on some of the other career opportunities that exist out there for nurses. Of course, you will find links to some of the things Randy talks about and some other links regarding Poison Center Nursing and other nursing careers in the show notes for this episode, and you can find all of that over at nursingshow.com. You'll find the categories link there. You just go down and check the category for Nursing Show Podcast, and you will find all of the show notes episodes, and that's a great way to follow up on the information that you hear in the show. Also, don't forget, you can always send in your comments, suggestions, questions, and everything else in here to me at comments@nursingshow.com. I always love to hear from all of you, and it gives me an idea of links and things that you send me that I can use for news items, all kinds of good information that comes in from you, the listeners. Let's continue to build this Nursing Show community, and follow me and keep up with me. Tell me what you're doing. A lot of you are over at Twitter, so if you're on Twitter, you can find me over there at PodMedic, and you can also follow me over at Facebook or follow the Nursing Show Facebook fan page. So without too much further ado, let's jump on in to the interview I recorded with Randy Goldberg as he talks about his path to becoming a nurse and how he got into Poison Center work. And I think you'll enjoy it. And he shares a little bit of his patient interaction and how it's a little different when you're involved with talking to a patient via the telephone. Hi, this is Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and I am here with Randy Goldberg, who is an RN in an interesting position, a position that I wasn't aware was a nursing career path until very recently, and that is as a poison control specialist in a poison control center. So I'm going to turn the microphone over briefly now to Randy and introduce him. Randy, welcome to the Nursing Show.
Well, thank you, Jamie. How do you do?
I do very well, and I really enjoy learning about all of the different things that nurses do in the world. It's really amazing how nurses touch people's lives in so many different ways. And now I find that when you call a poison control center, at least in the United States, that you might be speaking to an RN.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The qualifications for working in a poison center, they will tend to vary from state to state, from poison center to poison center, but certainly at my poison center at the University of Maryland, we have about 50-50 on staff of pharmacists and registered nurses.
That's good to know. Now, before we get into exactly what you do as a poison control nurse, let's talk a little bit about your background as a nurse, how you got into nursing, and then where you started out in nursing. What was your career path that brought you around to poison control?
Well, I actually transitioned to nursing in the early 90s. I was a medic in the Army, 1967 to 70, kind of a hot time to be a medic in the service. When I got out, went into another career path, got a bachelor's degree in business administration and went into business as a self-employed sales person for several years. And it wasn't until the end of the 80s that I started thinking about nursing as an alternative career to what I had been doing for about the prior 13 years. So I transitioned starting in the late 80s, went to nursing school, and graduated in 1991, and started as an RN. I was working at that time in San Diego, California, and worked as an RN for about three and a half years. And it was actually dumb luck. You know, I think you're right. There are a lot of people that are not aware that that poison control might be an opportunity or a career. And dumb luck stumbled into a position at the Poison Center in San Diego. And the rest is history. It's been a real excellent career move for me. And I really love the job.
Now, that's interesting. So you started off in the traditional nursing field, I'm sure, working in a hospital or a facility. Is that correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of found that you could go into poison control nursing, and you said you really like it. What is it that you find so enjoyable about working in poison control?
Well, every time the phone rings, almost always there's somebody at the other end of the phone that is stressed and that is looking for help. And it's a very rewarding for me to be able to very quickly, a lot of the time, set their mind at ease. They'll have an exposure. I can help them manage that exposure most of the time at home. Then, of course, if it's something that is more serious, then direct them to the emergency room and work with the emergency room to see that things are, that the ER is aware of what's coming as the person's on the way, and give recommendations as to how the person, how the patient might need treatment.
That's really, you know, it's interesting, because you would think, I think one of my thoughts about telenursing, which is one of, you know, I think the area of nursing that, that would broadly would encompass poison control, that you don't have that sense of, you know, dealing with the patient as much. And yet you seem to feel very much that you have a very positive personal impact on that patient.
Absolutely. It was one of the things that really worried me back in 94 when I interviewed for the position at the Poison Center, was that I really loved the patient contact and the person contact. And I thought, you know, in my sales position, I'd done a lot of telephone work, and I was always reaching out, you know, trying to prospect and look for, you know, people to talk to about the products I was marketing. Here, all of a sudden, I was in a position where people were calling me, and they really needed some help. And I just find it extremely satisfying to be able to, you know, take somebody from a very high stress position, and as quickly as I reasonably can, take them from being very stressed to calm and, you know, managing the situation and providing a little bit of education and finishing them up and getting them off the phone and picking up the next call.
So clearly this wasn't something that was covered in your nursing school education. So what did you have to do when you got that job as a poison control nurse? And what do you do now to maintain your qualifications as a nurse involved with poison control?
Well, each poison center essentially has their own method of training. And in San Diego, for about the first 3 months or so that I was hired to work, basically it was studying. It was going through and learning about medications and about toxicology in general. After about 3 months of book work and going through various modules of the different kinds of exposures that an individual will encounter, then it's a matter of starting on the telephones with folks there that are already trained and know what they're doing. And basically from that point on, it's on-the-job training, working taking calls, managing the calls, discussing the call with someone that is more experienced as need be. And even now, you know, if there's a phone call that comes in on a subject or substance or exposure that I'm not up on, that I don't have the knowledge base for, then I've got backup always available to contact.
And the backup that you use, is that a computer program? Do you use? Is there a supervisor who is a pharmacology doctor, or is there something that is, you know, that you have physically there to back you up, or is this a database system that you use?
We have a database system that we use primarily, and then beyond that, there's our medical director is available. We have folks that have been in toxicology for 20 years plus. I think among the poison specialists at the Poison Center in Maryland, we have 140 years of experience combined.
Wow.
And there's always something that pops up, though. I had a call. I just finished up a series of graveyards, and I had a call a couple nights ago, fellow here in Maryland with a scorpion sting.
That's odd.
On the finger. Isn't that odd? Well, this fellow had decided that he was going to have himself a pet scorpion, and he bought it through the Internet and had himself an exposure struck on the finger. And I was a little bit more comfortable, I think, than some of my coworkers might have been, because I'm from Southern California. We used to have a lot of scorpion stings there. But then this particular one was, who knows what kind it was. The fellow bought it on the Internet. So it turned out it was an exotic scorpion. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it was an exotic one that about 3% of the stings might be fatal. And it was kind of exciting for a few minutes figuring out what was going on. And ultimately, the patient did very well. It was probably not the kind of scorpion that he thought it was.
Well, that's good news. And like you said, so often you have a very positive outcome and are able to calm people very quickly. But you also seem to have something new crop up every now and then that gives you something to think about.
It's what keeps the job interesting. What keeps the job interesting and fun.
Now, with so many different advanced certification programs available in nursing now, is there a certification in toxicology or in in poison control that's available for nurses nationwide?
Well, the poison centers are most of the poison centers in the United States are affiliated with the American Association of Poison Control Centers, and the association has a certification examination that the specialists in poison information will take. I am a certified specialist in poison information, have been since 1995, and it's just a national exam that is updated. We have to take it every 7 years. And in fact, I think I'm due next year for recertification. All the specialists at the Maryland Poison Center in particular are in fact certified specialists in poison information. Some of the centers around the country are going to operate differently. I know in California they use what they call poison information providers, and they're a lower level of training, licensing not required for them. But here in Maryland, we have an excellent program, and all the specialists need to be certified through the national exam.
And what about basic nursing training? Is this open to any RN, or do you have to have a bachelor's degree or a BSN to get started in this type of a program with what you do?
Again, poison centers, each one is operated differently. For the University of Maryland, the requirement is a bachelor's degree in nursing. And for nurses, there's an experience requirement as well of ICU or emergency room work experience for, I think it's 3 years for the University of Maryland. and again, BSN, and then critical care experience. For pharmacists, pharmacists can be hired and trained for poison information straight out of pharmacy school.
Okay. All right. Now, and that's just Maryland's requirements. Every state and jurisdiction might have their own higher or lower requirements than that. But it's
exactly.
Okay. Now, you know, we talked about your one of your most rewarding parts of the job was that the fact that you really felt that you had an impact and were able to interact personally with the, with your patients and really have that patient contact, even though it's over the phone. What's one of the biggest challenges that you find as a poison control nurse?
Probably the hours will vary. We work 12-hour shifts, and as I said, I just finished filling in for a series of graveyard shifts. The staffing is tight, trying to keep costs under control. So we have a total of 11 specialists that need to man the phones there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So especially now during summertime, you know, that we have a couple of people off on vacation, it makes staffing tight. And the hours can get a bit grueling. The flip side of that is that it can be very intense in terms of the hours. I just finished 7 graveyards in a row. That's probably the most difficult part of it.
So if someone, if a nurse out there or a nursing student was out there and really thought that this was something that really intrigued them, they had an interest in pharmacology and in toxicology, what would you recommend for them to do in the course of their education and in their early career path to start them in the direction of being ready to transition into a poison control job?
I would suggest that they contact their local poison center and ask specifically what the qualifications are, what the kind of career path that they would need in order to qualify for their particular state poison center, and then follow a career path that's going to get them, you know, the experience that they need in order to apply for the job. The jobs are few and far between, in fact, in poison control. Let me put in a plug at the Maryland Poison Center. We've been recruiting. I think we just hired a new nurse. Believe it or not, I think the last job opening at our center was about 7 years ago.
That's quite a distance. I guess that speaks well for your system, and everybody seems to be happy.
Exactly. Once somebody is hired and gets trained, if they like, you know, they like the job, they're there, and people don't leave. There's very minimal turnover. It's also interesting thought. You know, eventually I'll be, you know, my daughter will be grown, and you know, there are poison centers all over the country. There certainly no large number of excess poison control specialists around, so there's a certain amount of mobility. If you go on the AAPCC website, you can almost always find a position for a certified specialist in poison information. Maybe you'll want to move to a more exotic state than you feel like you're living in.
Someplace with more scorpions.
Yes. Or less,
as the case may be.
Yeah. But as a nurse, thinking about it is interesting. It's a terrific career path for it has been for me. It was just dumb luck, and I feel really fortunate to have found the position, and it's just a good job.
Just to change gears here a little bit and plug poison control centers in general, I think people think about poison control and they think about the individual patient or their family member calling poison control. But in fact, you provide resources for everyone from the patient and family members all the way up through the staff and care providers in the hospital setting. In Maryland, we're lucky to have you guys online. I know I've called and talked to Poison Control numerous times from the back of an ambulance as a paramedic. I haven't had to interact with you as a nurse yet, but certainly it is open for someone to call from an emergency department or from a facility of some kind if they needed more advice. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We work with the emergency rooms all over the state of Maryland. In fact, my roughest night in this last run of graveyards, I had as many 28-plus patients that were actively in the emergency room receiving treatment.
Wow.
And so we're working with the doctors, with the emergency room staff. The initial call that I received on our scorpion sting was a call on the box, on the SISCOM system. Paramedics in the field, with somebody that's stung in the finger by their pet scorpion. So we provide assistance to the hospitals, to various nursing homes will call us with exposures, care facilities, residential care facilities. Lots of different folks are calling for all kinds of reasons. And there is a national number now for the poison centers, putting in a plug for that.
Absolutely. Go for it.
We've got a 1-800-222-1222, very simple number. That is a number that will take you to your local poison center from wherever you are in the United States, anywhere in the 50 states. If you need the poison center, 1-800-222-1222 will route you to the local poison center from wherever you're calling.
Excellent. Yeah, that's absolutely right. And don't hesitate to call. I know we talk with Lisa about this when Lisa Booz is on with her toxicology minutes with us. And she says the same thing. You know, don't hesitate to call if you have a question. The poison control centers in your community are there for that purpose. And you might be talking to a nurse when you get somebody on the end of the line.
Absolutely. And it ranges from the child getting into some cleaning product or into grandma's pills to call from grandpa at midnight saying, "Oh my gosh, I doubled up on my blood pressure medication. What do I do?" Our job, a lot of it, is to help keep people out of the emergency room if they can stay away from there. Emergency rooms are so backed up and stacked right now. And my gosh, if people have an exposure, they call the poison center, we'll very often be able to save them a trip to the emergency room. And it happens quite often still. Unfortunately, we'll get a call from an emergency room, and there'll be a patient there that's taking up a bed. And in fact, they've got an exposure that, had they called us to begin with, we would have been able to manage them at home.
Excellent. And that's something, you know, people can keep in mind and pass on. Most poison centers have community outreach programs and information they can make available to the public. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We have both a person that works with the professionals. We have Lisa, who works with the paramedics, and we help work and train paramedics. We have paramedics that actually come and listen to calls in the center and get familiar with how we operate. Also, she works with the nurses in the emergency rooms, the professional education side of it. And then we also have a public educator who works with doctor's offices and the public in general with outreach. We'll take and we keep statistics on the calls. We know that if we're getting no calls from Southern Maryland in the particular area, then that's a place where our public educator may know that they need to focus some outreach in order to make people aware of our services.
So it's even within poison control, it's really a broader career path and opportunity than you might ultimately think.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, Randy, I want to thank you for your time and sharing a little bit about your career choices and your career path with the listeners to the Nursing Show. And if you ever have a good call you'd like to share with us, share a lesson that might help out the listeners, don't hesitate to get back in touch and we'll have you back on the show and you can tell us a little bit about what you learned and what we can learn from your lessons.
Well, thank you, Jamie. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
That's going to wrap up this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank Randy Goldberg and indeed everyone at the Maryland Poison Center. They've been very supportive of getting information out for my listeners here on the show. And you've heard our segments with Lisa Booz over the last year and a half or so. And we're looking forward to having more of those in the future to share with you information on poison centers, on how they interact, on some of the key overdoses, poisonings, and other toxicology issues that they see in their phone calls on a regular basis and share them out there with you. So keep tuned here to The Nursing Show to get those. Don't forget, you'll always find links to everything discussed in the show notes. So follow up and head over to nursingshow.com. You'll also find articles posted there throughout the week, information that you might find interesting as a nurse or a nursing student, good follow-up articles, and links to everything always there at The Nursing Show. Don't forget, you can always contact me, send in those emails to comments@nursingshow.com, questions, corrections, whatever it is, I want to hear from you, so keep them coming as always. Time to close out the show, and I will close out with actually a great find I picked up over at the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, and it is a remake of the old Three Dog Night song, Shambhala. And it's one of my favorite Three Dog Night tunes. I found an authorized redo of this song by an artist by the name of Joe College. So check this out. If you like what you hear, you'll find links in the show notes. And let Joe know you heard it here on The Nursing Show. Without further ado, I will let you know that I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. And I want to remind all of you to remember to stay safe. And stay tuned here to The Nursing Show. Take care.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain with the rain. Shambhala. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame with the rain of Shambhala. Shambhala. Everyone is lucky, everyone is so kind on the road to Shambhala. Shambhala.